Good morning, and welcome to Investment Talk, a one-hour live radio program brought to you by the financial advisors of Legacy Wealth Management of Fargo and Bismarck, and featuring the president and financial advisor of Legacy, Paul Myers, and financial advisor and CFP, Brady Brunsvold, with host Steve Poitras. Securities and investment advice from LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor, and member FINRA and SIPC. Nothing in today's show is an offer to buy or sell securities, and you should consult with an investment advisor in person before taking any action, as every investment involves risk. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. And now, the award-winning team at Legacy Wealth Management presents Investment Talk.
Kind of reminds me of a high-powered sewing machine.
Speaking of high-powered sewing machines, this is Investment Talk, but we're opening with that Bison kind of thunderstruck theme song. Let's hear it, Josh. Yeah! I can almost see AC/DC or Stephen and the Seagulls. Have you seen his version of that? Stephen and the Seagulls.
I have not. Version.
Paul, do you play this music in your car on the way to work?
I do. I have a little harp that I play it on, and I
like to play "Up a Lazy River" by the Mills Brothers.
Hey, good morning, and welcome to Investment Talk, brought to you by the advisors at Legacy Wealth Management, where every Sunday we get together and say, "Whoa, let's talk
what
about something."
What are we doing here?
Yeah, and we're going to talk about
how did this come about?
Yeah, this is going to be an interesting show today because let's face it. As you could tell from our opening music, it is game day today. Yes. In the sunny climes of Frisco, Texas.
You know, I'm wondering how often, if ever, did the Bison ever play a football game on a Sunday?
Well, not too often.
Maybe that's our trivia question
for
today.
Oh, you just gave it away, Steve.
What
the trivia
what day
question.
Will the Bison play for the championship? Well, it is game day, folks. And this is Investment Talk. And as you know, we at Legacy Wealth Management like to bring you some news and information that you can use about investments and the stock market and things like that. And today will be no exception, except that in addition to all of that fun stuff about stocks going up and stocks going down, we're going to talk about Bison game day. And Steve, the stock market was kind of an exciting place to be on Friday.
I am very pleased to report that after our rocky 2022.
Rocky Hager.
The first year. Yeah. Yes, you could please. The first week of the new year was up on all of the major indexes for the week. They were up in the area of 1.5% to 2%. So the new year got off to a good start on the market.
So you're saying the indexes were up 1% to 2% for the new year.
1.5% to 2% for the
new
year.
See, now we know that in the world of stock market investments and things like that, Brian, one of the things we look at is the history, and there is a kind of a legend out there that the first 10 days of the new year will help foreshadow what we might expect for the rest of the year.
Yeah, that's often been the case. You're correct about that, Paul.
So
not
it'll
always,
be interesting.
But yeah.
Not a, and of course, it really has no basis. In fact, it's just
it's a trend that has emerged
and of course,
over time.
A number of things that happen in January that are usually pretty good for the market is a lot of money gets pumped into the investment world because you could see Steve over there. He's busy pumping that money in.
Because he was flexing.
I know. He was flexing. Because what happens is a lot of the pension plans and the 401k plans and the ESOPs, that's when they dump money into the various investments, and so they go into the market, and it's a good thing. The other thing that happens is a lot of the big money managers, and let's face it, that's what controls the market these days, they try to true up their portfolios at the end of the year so they can report, oh, yeah, we're in these good things, we're not in these bad things. And then when January 2nd or 3rd rolls around, they start jumping back into the market pretty heavy.
They do. And like you said, this is not a guarantee or anything like that, but this trend has emerged over the years. And we like to have a week start off on a good note.
If I recall correctly, gentlemen, at the very beginning of last year, the first trading day of last year was up significantly, but after that, it began a dive that didn't end for some time.
It was a rough time, let's face it, 2022. You know, at Legacy Wealth Management, we do look at the history. It doesn't guarantee what's going to happen, but we've been fortunate in that the areas that we've liked have really done well for quite a few years. I mean, we're looking at like 10 years where technology has been a booming thing and large cap growth and so on. If you've been anywhere in the market, you've probably done pretty well over the last 10 years. And then along rolls 2022, not so hot. Well, we're going to talk about all those things and many more as the show rolls on. But we started the show with AC/DC's Thunderstruck, which is kind of the
unofficial theme.
Yeah, unofficial theme for the Bison. It's the play on music as they all come out. And it's pretty, tell you what, it's pretty exciting to be at a game when that when that music starts.
It gets the blood pumping, doesn't it?
It gets the blood pumping and things are going. And I suspect with both the Bison and the Jackrabbits today, they won't have a problem with the blood pumping. It'll be lots of excitement down there.
Yes, unlike most years down there, there are indications that there may be as many or more fans behind the Jackrabbits today as the Bison.
Yeah, well, we're going to hear about that.
Yep.
Because in both parts of today's show, we're going to have some callers tell us what's going on down there in Frisco.
Yeah, and that's really exciting. We want to hear from, you know, what's going on down in Frisco. And we've got a couple of people lined up for our show, and we're pretty excited about that, aren't we, Paul?
Well, I think so. The first guy we're going to have is our friend, Derek Hansen.
Yes.
Big D.
Big D is joining us from down near the Big D. We're going to have Derek on board with us here in just a second. Derek, are you out there in warm Frisco land?
I certainly am. And yeah, we're kind of the, you know, just kind of anticipating the 1 o'clock kickoff, which is 2 hours later than normal, a day later than normal. But I think it's been a pretty busy time here. Certainly seen a lot of green and gold. And as you guys mentioned, a little blue mixed in here. Much of the hotel I'm staying at has a lot of South Dakota State fans here. I'm guessing, just kind of looking at, you know, how many people are going, to probably be like two-thirds maybe, you know, Bison fans, and a third, maybe a little bit more of South Dakota State, just the way it is, because North Dakota State's pretty good about, you know, snapping up tickets early.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good. Well, Derek, we wanted to be sure and have you on the show this morning because with your background in couch potato radio and following the sports as closely as you do, it'd be kind of nice to get your insights. And then the cool thing is in the second half of the show, we've got just a plain old Bison graduate from 1994 who lives down in Texas, who's going to be calling in and giving us his viewpoint. Steve, what do you got?
I've got a question for Derek straight away. Derek, was that the legendary Hall of Fame receiver Jerry Rice you were pictured with?
Yeah, it was a weird thing. I decided to go to this nice little steakhouse within walking distance of the where I'm staying, and I just went in. I went in pretty early, and there weren't many people in there, so I went and kind of curled around. And I actually thought, because I know he lives down here, it's LaTroy Hawkins, who used to pitch for the Twins. Got to know over the years, and kind of looking in the back of his head or whatever, it kind of looked like the same person. I turn around, and so I go around the bar. I sit there, and we're going to have myself a little steak, and it's Jerry Rice. And I didn't say much to him, and he was kind of on the phone, and I just said, then eventually I just said, well, how's it going? He goes, good. And we started talking a little bit, and as he's getting ready to leave, because he gives away his, he has an award, I think, for the FCS banquet or whatever, and because he went to Mississippi Valley State, obviously, and he and Walter Payton, no doubt the two greatest FCS players ever, or Division I AA, and he said, well, come on, grab your phone. Let's take a picture. And so I didn't even ask him. And I said, well, thanks very much. You have to do that. He goes, it's my pleasure. So, yeah, it's, if you're not friends with me on Facebook, it's you'll see my old dog, Bo, who we put down in my feed, D-E-R-E-K-H-A-N-S-O-N, if you want to see it. He was just really a nice guy. And to be that famous and probably the greatest receiver of all time to
Derek,
be that
Derek,
nice and cordial.
Does he still hold the record, or did he hold the record for having scored the most touchdowns in NFL history?
I think he did, but I can't keep track of who, if he still has or not. But he was amazing. I mean, you think about the dominance that he and Joe Montana and Steve Young, and then he played into the 2000s. He was with the Raiders and went to the Super Bowl before they lost to the Buccaneers, too. So the longevity, too, of how long he played was just amazing.
So you would categorize him as just a down-to-earth, a very friendly guy, it sounds like.
Unbelievable. I couldn't get over it.
What a nice story to hear about, Derek. And the fact that he recognized you and wanted to have his picture taken with.
Yeah, right.
That's pretty cool, Derek.
Big D comes to Big D.
Nice of you to give him some of your time.
Right. It was really weird because, you know, I've had the pleasure in this business of, you know, running into people, you know, well-known people, and I usually just try to be pretty chill. I don't ask for autographs much. I don't ask for pictures very much or whatever. So to say, hey, you know, let's take a picture. Let's take a selfie together. I was like flabbergasted. I was just going to tell people I ran into him. I wasn't really make a big deal about it. But since he offered, because I just don't want to be that guy, especially when he's at a restaurant. But
well, he may have been aware of your longtime association with Sid Hartman.
That's true. Yeah, that's true. Good point. He may have known that Sid and I worked together. That's a very good point. Yeah.
I'm just glad, Derek, that you didn't ask him to pay for your steak. That was very nice of you.
Yeah.
Well, Derek, let's talk more specifically about the game day atmosphere down there. I know that, you know, we're still a few hours away from the actual game, and as I understand, tailgating won't start until about 10 o'clock North Dakota time. Is that about right?
Yeah, but I've seen a little bit of social media where they might be trying to skirt that a little bit, setting up their tents or whatever. So I don't know. I think that's what they try, but you know, Bison fans are trying to get up and early. And so, but yeah, I think that's the case. You know, with the 1 o'clock kickoff time, it's a little later. It's taking a little bit more time to get everything going here. So it's going to be a weird thing. And I think the bar owners really don't know what to do down here either, because they're used to having like a, you know, the game getting over about 1:30 and then everyone come back and either celebrate or whatever. Well, here it's Sunday night. They have a Cowboys Commanders game that's going to fill up their bars too. So it could be an interesting atmosphere here tonight for the people who are staying if they aren't rushing home right after the game.
Very good. Well, it's interesting. Now, this is an outdoor game. I've been to the game myself every year, except this year we didn't go, even though we had planned to go originally. And it is an outdoor game, and it's there at the Toyota Stadium. And how will the weather, you know, that's a big deal because the South Dakota State typically plays outdoors, don't they?
Yeah.
The Bison, of course, normally play indoors. What will the weather be like? Will that be a factor down there?
Well, the sun's out now. It's expected to be in the low 60s, and I don't know what the wind is going to be. So it's really a perfect day for football here. So I don't think that's going to be an issue whatsoever. I think, you know, unless the wind really starts to whip up one way or the other, that, you know, that could be factor in depending upon, you know, what end zone you're going towards or whatever and field goals. But it's a picture perfect morning right now. It's been very nice here. So that is not going to be an issue. It doesn't look like whatsoever. And looking at the turf on Friday, had a chance to check that a little bit, just kind of looking around. It looks like the field conditions are in good, you know, because they had another bowl game, the Frisco Bowl earlier, and of course they have some soccer matches here. But everything looks pretty pristine right now as far as the field conditions are concerned. Now, once the players start getting on there and start tearing up with their cleats, it might be a different story. But we'll see.
As it was against Towson State many years ago.
Yeah, right.
Derek, if I read correctly that Jackrabbits are on the betting line, a 4.5-point favorite?
Yeah, depending on what you look like, 4.5 to 5.5 is kind of what it's been looking like. Mm. And there's no doubt that talking to some of the NDSU players, they have a little bit of a chip on their shoulder about that. Of course, they've lost the last three to the Jackrabbits. Now, in the history of the postseason, they're 0-4, the Jackrabbits are against the Bison. So there's a lot that has to give here, right? Cam Miller has yet to beat the Jackrabbits. He's 0-3, and that's heavy on his mind right now. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's a lot of things at play here. There's the fact that the Jackrabbits have won the last three, and that's the ones that Cam has lost. And then, you know, the Jackrabbits are 0-4. Of course, all those games have been at the Fargo Dome. This is going to be a neutral site. So this is something's got to give. And there's no doubt South Dakota State, talking to them, they want to get their first title for the state. There's no question about it. And I think it would be pretty sweet for them to do it against their rivals to the north.
This probably wouldn't be the first time a Bison opponent has been licking their chops thinking this is the year we beat the Bison. It's not the first time. And you never know exactly how it'll happen. I always say that these games, as well as most events that we're involved in, are really a game of inches. You know, one catch here or there, one run through the line, one interception, one drop ball makes a huge difference in this game. And I like to keep remembering that, you know, when the Jackrabbits came up to Fargo, the Bison jumped off to a big lead right away, and then unfortunately through a number of turns of events gave that up and had to watch as they as they went down in defeat by a couple of points. But now in that game, if I remember correctly, we had Hunter Lupke on the team working. And that's got to be a
loss.
Big difference.
Yeah.
And of course, the last playoff game that the Bison played, Cam Miller was held to one completed pass for 5 yards.
He can't help but have a better day than that today. I'm thinking.
Well, you'd hope so, but I mean, they are. I mean, that is probably the biggest storyline, part of the reason that the Jackrabbits are favored. That, you know, they're pretty beat up, the Bison are. I mean, there's no doubt. I mean, Tamarc Williams, I'm not sure if he's going to be able to go. It doesn't look good for him. So, I mean, you got Kobe Johnson's going to get a lot of the carries, and he's not that big bashing back that you have. You know, they're going to have to.
Yeah.
Obviously, Cam Miller's going to have to do a lot with his legs, too, but you're right. They have to be more balanced on offense than they have been, or it could be a tough day. Because the Jackrabbits are very balanced. I mean, Isaiah Davis, their running back, is really good. And, of course, Mark Gronowski, their quarterback, who, you know, the last time he was here, he got knocked out within the first series or whatever. So that's something that there's no doubt they're thinking about. And he's, well, I think he's only a sophomore with the COVID year and his redshirt freshman years. And he is quite a talent. And he's got a lot of guys he can throw to, two big tight ends, including Kraft, who's looking like an NFL prospect, much the way that Dallas Goedert was. So there's a lot that North Dakota State has to account for today, that's for sure.
Yeah, we don't need any more Dallas Goedert's going against us, do we, Derek? That guy.
Well, they got one today. It's pretty close. I mean,
Kraft is, he'll be going very high in the draft.
Have you, you know, this is a question I should know the answer to. Is Cole Payton back to feeling well and well enough to play?
Well, there's a lot of, I mean, the thing is that there's so many guys that you're questioning, right? And they're always pretty hush about it. It's almost like the NFL not want to give away their injury line. So there's, you know, not a lot has been said about that. So it's hard to know who's going to be. And there might be some guys who surprise us that get on the field today, too. And, you know, there's guys obviously like Luke here just ruled out.
Now, one thing about SDSU, as well as some of the other teams out there, they're almost well known for often coming up with some kind of a trick play. Is that what you've noticed over the years too, Derek? And has there been any talk about that?
Well, you always got to be careful for a John Stiglmeyer wrinkle, right? I mean, I don't think there's any question. And I think, you know, you got to watch for that. And something, you know, it's all of the Philly special with the Eagles against the Patriots type of thing. I wouldn't be surprised to see something like that. I mean, that's something they could pull off. I don't know if the Bison want to do that after you mentioned the thing that turned around the regular season game.
Right.
Was that what halfback pass that they tried or whatever? And that kind of changed the momentum for everything. And so I don't know. But I think NDSU is going to have to come up with a few wrinkles themselves if they want to get by this very talented South Dakota State team. That's, you know, they've been number one for most of the season for a reason. They've been the best team in the FCS. There's no question about that. And NDSU, there's nothing more they'd like than to knock them off that, though, that's for sure, on the biggest stage.
Once again, a game of inches, that halfback pass that you mentioned in the game that the Bison lost to the Jackrabbits, a game of inches. Had that gone the other way, the Bison would have been up a whole bunch of scores and probably insurmountable at that point. But it doesn't always work, and it didn't happen, and we're going to be watching pretty closely and listening pretty closely up here in the Fargo land, Derek, and we appreciate your insight and comments. Let me ask you one last question, because at the same time just about that the Bison and the Jackrabbits are going at it in Frisco, Texas, we've got the Vikings on board too. I know you follow Vikings football. What are your thoughts about today? What are your thoughts about the playoffs?
Kind of feels like it's the last, you know, preseason game, right? Sounds like Peterman's going to start for the Bears, so they're not going to start Justin Fields at all. And, you know, a lot of question how many of the starters are going to actually play for the Vikings. I think if they win, they might have an outside shot, something with San Francisco loses or whatever, but to get that 2-seed. But I think they just are kind of sitting pat and, you know, wait the Giants next week for the wild card. So it's an interesting day how many teams are kind of starting, you know, putting down their starters. Now, tonight, you know, the Packers, they win, they're in, and so they're looking at that. The Lions, they need Seattle to lose, so then they win if they're in. So there's just a lot of weird stuff going on today.
Yeah.
Of course, Jacksonville got the division title last night, so it's the NFL is kind of a quirky thing. And of course, they had everything with the drama around DeMar Hamlin on Monday night, and so the AFC playoff scenarios are very unique. And yeah, it's just it's quite a day. I mean, it's going to be talked about a lot today, that's for sure.
Derek, we appreciate the time you took this morning getting up to talk with us on Investment Talk. Believe it or not, and I know you listen, we really do talk about investment things from time to time. But it's hard on game day not to pay attention to that. And even the economics down in Frisco, you know, the I remember when the mayor of Frisco came up to Fargo and talked about how excited they were to have the Bison come down there because it makes quite an economic impact. And I'll bet you've noticed that whole area of Frisco has really gotten developed over the last number of years.
Well, see, the last time I've been down here was January of 18 for the 2017 season.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's even developed quite a bit since I've been here for that. And, you know, for the people that come down there constantly, they say from year to year, there's just something. And you can see more stuff being built up. And yeah, so this northern suburb of Dallas has really exploded, and just it just kind of sounds like, and I'm sure you guys watch these stocks quite a bit, it's just a lot of IT places are coming in, they're coming down here because they're so business friendly. You know, there's no state income tax, there's just a lot of breaks that they give businesses for coming to Texas and to relocate there as far as trying to cut their corporate taxes too. And that really makes a difference, just every little bit helps on your bottom line, so you're seeing a lot of these tech outfits moving to Texas for that reason and that reason only.
A lot of energy and oil, obviously, down in Texas.
Well, in the last year or two, didn't Elon Musk move the headquarters of Tesla down
to,
Austin, Texas?
A lot of things going on in Texas economically, and oil and energy has been the number one sector this year for the stock market, so easy to see.
And wind is big down here, too. I mean, if you go along the prairies of the, I mean, there's windmills everywhere that kind of northwest a part of Texas, too. It's crazy.
Well, very good.
I heard an interesting statistic on wind power that this last year, the United Kingdom, Great Britain, 27% of their total energy was generated by wind power.
Wow.
27%. That's significant.
And they say that if you listen to Investment Talk, your wind power total goes up quite a bit.
That's true.
We generate some wind power.
Hey, Derek, we're going to have to get zooming. Just a reminder, in the second half of the show, we're going to have a phone call in from any number of people who are out there, but also one guy in particular who is an NDSU grad. He's going to talk about his take on the atmosphere down there. We're going to be looking for you in the stands today, Derek. You'll be easy to spot. You'll be sporting that big grin. And we'll go from there, okay?
Sounds good, guys. Take care of yourself.
Thanks,
have a good Sunday.
Thanks, Derek. Bye for now. Isn't that a treat to be
it
able
is.
To have Derek Hansen on board and kind of our man down in
He's
Frisco.
The big D in big D.
He is. Mm-hmm. This would have been a great year for all of us to have been down there because it had been Sunday. We could have done our show live from down there, but this is second best.
Yep. This is still a good pregame
it
show.
Is. Steve, do you want to see if we have a listener out there who's got anything to add with regard to your question? We don't need an intro. We can just say, look,
okay.
If you know the answer to Steve's question,
yes.
Give us a call in North Dakota at 237-5948. That's 701 or 1-800-880-5346. Steve, hit it.
Okay. 20 states have no state minimum wage, just the federal minimum wage of $7.25 an hour. North Dakota is one of those states. However, with annual cost of living adjustments that took effect on January 1st of this year, and we'll give you a little margin here. What is the minimum wage now in Minnesota and or South Dakota? If you have an idea on either one, they're somewhat close. Give us a call now at 237-5948 or 701-237-5948. What do you think the newly adjusted minimum wage is in Minnesota or South Dakota?
You know, Steve, talking about minimum wage, it's a topic that Brian Brady and I talk about from time to time at Legacy Wealth because it's such an influence on economic activity and on employment. Now, the employment numbers we saw this week on Friday were pretty good, weren't they, Steve?
Well, didn't the national unemployment dip to 3.5%?
That is correct. That is correct.
Hundreds of thousands in jobs,
added. Created. So if you want to weigh in and guess the answer to Steve's question, feel free to give us a call at 701-237-5948. I know we have a lot of people down in Frisco listening on their smartphones this morning. I know that because I could see the pings on the towers down there. 1-800-880-5346 if you know an answer. Why don't you guess it could be $6 an hour? Not likely. Or it could be $12 an hour.
Well, I can tell you that the highest ones are...
why don't you just go ahead and tell us because don't have a lot of time left.
Well, I guess we don't. We're only... Minnesota was bumped up now to $10.50 an hour, and South Dakota, $10.80
And that's because of cost of living bumps, right?
Yes, exactly. Annual cost of living adjustments.
There you go. All right. Well, here we are on Investment Talk radio version. We also have an Investment Talk TV version. Don't forget about that. We're going to tell you more about that. We're going to have some more callers talking about game day, and we'll talk about the stock market week and review all that on Investment Talk radio, brought to you on 790 AM radio in Fargo, 550 AM radio in Bismarck. We'll be back right after the news. You know, this has obviously been one of my favorite songs.
There are got to be few songs in the whole world of music that open stronger than this one does.
Little Darling by the Diamonds. Wonderful. This goes back to, I think, right before World War One. Not quite that far back.
Is that why I haven't heard it before?
Yeah, that's why.
It was either very late 50s or early 60s.
Hey, Evan, good morning and welcome to you wherever you might be this morning. You are listening to Investment Talk Radio, brought to you by the advisors at Legacy Wealth Management, where if you get a hankering for talking to us, you can give us a call at 701-365-8083.
Because we'll be hanging around the corral over there.
We'll be hanging around over there. 365-8083 is our office number. You can call us anytime. If you want to call in and be on the radio with us, give us a call at 701-237-5948, and we'll be here to talk with you wherever you are. Speaking of that, okay. Normally, we talk just about investment type.
Yeah, well, so we're very strict on that.
Yeah, we talk about a lot of things. We like to talk about what's going on in the economy, what's going on in the stock market. Steve, did you know? I know you did notice, because you keep track of this for us, what the Dow Jones closed at on Friday. It was over 33,000.
Well, yes, and it was up on the nose, 700 points for the day.
Wow. Wow.
Big, big day for the Dow and all for the week. All
and
the
you know
major indexes were up nicely.
Is it's going to do that every day from now on for the next...
Well, there's a whole lot of us that'd like to see that happen.
Well, in any case, we do
talk... We got a hankering for that.
I know. Yeah. We do talk about investment things, but we talk about other things as well. And today, let's face it, it's game day between the NDSU Bison and the South Dakota State University Jackrabbits. Those ferocious bunnies down there.
You know, you figure they'd be faster than a bison, but the bison would be far more powerful,
they'd squish
strong.
Them right there. Yeah, you'd squish them. So... In addition, first half of the show, we had a chance to talk to Derek Hansen, who's pretty much alive on the radio waves all around here.
Yep.
And the second half of the show, we're going to invite people. They're welcome to give us a call if they'd like to, wherever they might be, and weigh in on the current, the big game day excitement. Right now, we are pretty excited because we have Chris Berry calling in. Good morning, Chris. How are you doing?
Good morning.
Hey.
I'm doing good. Thank you.
And Chris, tell us a little, you know, the rest of us, I know a little bit about you, but the rest of the world here doesn't know about you. I know you're down there in Texas, in Frisco, and you are a graduate of NDSU, right?
Yeah, I graduated back in 1994.
All right.
Seems like a long time ago now.
Well, I can do the math on that. It was, you know, some 28 years ago, doggone it. You must be at least 30 years old by now.
30 years old.
Exactly.
Yeah. A lot of... Legally able to do lots of things, rent cars, all that kind of good stuff.
Now, whereabouts are you? First of all, let's talk a little bit more about you, and then we're going to talk about the Bison game day atmosphere. What did you study while you were up at NDSU?
Business administration. But I was an ROTC, so when I graduated, I was commissioned in the Army as Signal Corps officer and spent 20 years serving in the Army. So landed at Fort Sam Houston in San Antonio, which is where we currently live in San Antonio, Texas.
Well, very good. Congratulations, and obviously thank you for your service. It's a pretty cool thing. You know, at pretty much every NDSU game I've been to, Dan Michaels, who's the radio voice or the announcer voice, always makes a point to call attention to servicemen and women who've served in the U.S. Armed Forces, and they all stand up, and it's a pretty cool deal. In any case, so you're down there in San Antonio, which by itself is a beautiful area, I would bet.
Yes, hot in the summer, nice in the winter.
All right. It's just like Fargo. The temperature is almost the same if you stay indoors anyway. Chris,
yeah, right.
You make the drive up to see the game today. Have you been to a number of games in the past?
Yes, this is, I think this is eight. This is number eight for us.
Well, congratulations to you. That's a pretty solid fan. I was intrigued because I read some of your comments online about what you've noticed down there, and we wanted to ask you some questions about that and about the game day atmosphere. First of all, you've been there seven or eight times. How would you compare this time to your previous times? Is it still just as exciting down there?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, this is a great venue here at in Frisco where they have the championship game. They really roll out the red carpet for everybody. The stadium, you feel like it's made for this game. It's the right size. I know saying that it's a soccer stadium, but really it just feels like the right venue for this game. And they really, you know, take care of the fans here as far as green and gold colors at the hotels and bars and business signs saying, hey, welcome to Frisco Bison fans. I'm not sure if the Jackrabbits got the same feeling just because they're just not here that often. I think they're going to have a good sized crowd as well, but the local fan base or the local population is really in tune with who NDSU is and what it means when we come to the national championship football game.
You know, that's exactly what I've noticed when I've been down there, and Steve is down there with us once too, and I think we both noticed the same things, that the businesses go out of their way to be very welcoming, and that's a good thing. And the crowds down there are in, you know, you go out to eat in a restaurant, pick any restaurant within 30 miles
of
that place.
Lots of people in Bison paraphernalia.
Lots of people in Bison paraphernalia, and not only that, clothing too, Steve. And
maybe that's why they're so popular down there.
Chris, let's talk about the area down there. We'll talk a little bit about economics, but you mentioned that it looks as if if over the years that you've been there, lots of exponential growth in that Frisco area, lots of new buildings. Is that what you're seeing?
Oh, it's just amazing. You know, I remember the first year we were here was, I think, January 13. And you could tell that Frisco at one time was this, you know, rural town just on the outskirts of a major city because it had a little bit of the city kind of pushing into it. But it definitely had its old core, if you will, with some newer homes. But now it's almost unrecognizable from what it was like in 2013. One of the comments I made is a few years ago, they built the Dallas Cowboys practice facility here in Frisco, and it's probably down the road 3 or 4 miles from the stadium. But when you drove by, you know, you could see this massive facility. The building's about as big as the Fargo Dome, or at least, you know, it's in comparison. And now when you drive by that area, it's just completely surrounded with office buildings, probably hotels and what have you, that you can't even from the road really see the practice center unless you kind of peer around and look. So it's just kind of indicative of all the development that's really happened. Even around the stadium here, as we're in a hotel, it's about a mile away. It used to be pretty wide open, you know, around the complex. The complex is a soccer complex. So there's a number of practice fields. I think they sponsor a lot of youth soccer and such here, but so it was relatively wide open, and now it's just, you know, just so much development has happened. It's just truly amazing. I mean, you wouldn't think that we're in some sort of a downturn right now if you were to look at Frisco as your gauge.
Well, that's some interesting comments. Now I'm noticing, because I can stalk you on Facebook, you've got a nice family, and was your wife from NDSU, or where did you meet her?
Oh, yeah. Yes, we're both NDSU graduates.
Were you what was your original hometown, Chris?
Fargo.
Oh, right. Oh.
Well, very good.
Yeah. Very familiar with KFGO. And
well, that's good. Well, they're becoming more and more familiar with you as we go along, and that's a good thing.
Yeah, okay.
What's the feeling down there in terms of the up and down, who's going to win today's game? I mean, have you got any feelings about that?
It's interesting because, you know, obviously NDSU is the underdog, been picked, or South Dakota State, I should say, has been picked to win by about every expert in the game. But when you talk to a South Dakota State fan, it's kind of 50-50. You know, some will be like, well, yeah, this feels like this is the year, and then others will be a little bit, yeah, but you're NDSU, you know, I mean, and that's, I think, where NDSU fans are, is that we know that we're the underdog, but we also know that we've come into this game that way before. We're not always the favorites coming to this game. We just are the favorites to make it to the game.
And both players and fans are veterans. Some of those players have been down there quite a few times.
Yep.
Yeah. Right. I mean, they had a pep fest yesterday, and they had a little video as part of that, and they had some of the older players that had been a part of the past championships, and they're like, I was there in, you know, 16, 17, 18, you know, and they're just rattling off all their, and he's like, okay, that's pretty impressive for any player to be a part of a championship run of one or two, let alone, you know, yeah, some players in the past have been a part of five.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
I don't know if any team in any sport has ever dominated for this many years to the extent that the Bison have.
Not in recent times, anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the game kicks off at 1 p.m. today, and I understand that tailgating will start probably fairly soon. Do you typically, you guys typically zoom over towards tailgating?
You know, in the past, the game's been on Saturday. So for us, it's been a drive up Friday night. And it's, you know, now that we're empty nesters, we don't have to shake two kids out of the bed. But it was, we had to get two other, you know, it was more people had to get up and ready to get going. And we typically just get over to the game was at 11 as well in the past. So you'd be getting over to the game just almost in time to get in the queue to get into the gates and watch the game. So today we plan on, we're here up and early, I guess. Right. And, so we plan on walking over there and checking out the scene. I know the, you know, being that we're not in Fargo, we don't get to see the tailgating, at that often, but it's an amazing sight to see when you see all of these rigs, you know, with the NDSU colors, yeah, and the fans or the flags flying. And, it really represents well for NDSU, that tailgate, group of people that, put that together every game.
I think you're absolutely correct. And it's, really the tailgating in Fargo and on the road as well. People are really very well mannered and it's a friendly, enthusiastic, hospitable group. Mm-hmm. And that's nice to see. I know the distances down there at the Frisco game for tailgating, you have some pretty substantial distances to move from the tailgating lot to get to the game. One of the other things, Chris, that I've noticed, and I bet you have too, just a small detail, is if you go into the Toyota Stadium there and want to make a cell phone call, cell phone signals are hard to come by. I don't know if you've noticed that.
Yeah, yesterday, even at the Pep Fest, you know, when you, it was difficult to get a text out. So, yeah, I'm kind of interested to see if that's still the case this year, if it's maybe they have some boosters or something in the stadium to help fix that. But, yeah, that, I don't know if it's just maybe the part of town that we're on. We're not quite in the deep in the Metroplex to pick up a tower, you know, as easy as you do in a larger city. But
I think one of the problems, and I don't know much about the technology involved, is that at the game there are so many people sending out messages and making phone calls that, you know, the lines get a little jammed. Now, the last time I was down there, which I guess was last year as far as I can remember, there was a little bit of rain going on during the game. But you're not seeing that kind of weather today, is that right?
No, today, like right now, there's not a cloud in the sky. The flagpole is, the flag's moving, but it's not being pushed out. So there's just like a, you know, maybe a 2 mile per hour breeze or so. It's relatively chilly for Texas. It's, or at least for San Antonio, Texas, it's, I think we're at 40 right now, but a high of 59 is what I looked at.
Wow.
But in the past where we've had some treacherous weather, just even getting here with, you know, winter storms coming through, because north side of Dallas can get, or Dallas, North Texas can get some snow in the winter.
And well, at least definitely, 1 year down there, it was really chilly.
Yeah. I've been there, yeah, when it's been cold and you wanted to go inside somewhere. If at all possible. Chris,
definitely,
one or two last questions. You know, since you have the kind of unique position of being not only a Bison fan, but originally coming from Fargo, now living down in Texas, going to the game, do you have any advice for people who are out there listening who might be thinking, hey, you know, if the Bison make it again another year, I'm going to go down there to Texas? What kind of advice would you give them as far as getting down there and hanging out in Frisco and going to the game?
I think the first thing I would do is book a hotel room. Okay. Is there's generally no foul or penalty, so to speak, if you end up having to cancel later, as long as you do it within whatever their rules are, but should have enough time to make that decision. But if you wait until, you know, the NDSU has been selected to go or won the game to go, you may have trouble finding a hotel. Like, we got lucky in the sense that we're a little bit of a mile. We can walk to the stadium, and that's because I got the hotel reservation really early. I think the other thing would be is not to think because you're coming to Texas that it's going to just be warm and not pack that winter cap or, you know, a couple of layers to wear, because it can get pretty chilly down here. And when you're out in that game for, you know, 3 hours plus, that the elements can certainly get to you. So I would, you know, pack appropriately, which most people are probably going to anyways, just because they're leaving by car from a cold weather climate. But, and then I guess just, you know, venture outside of Frisco too. There's a number of different things that are going on in Dallas that are, if you're here early enough, you can go to like the seventh floor library? I'm probably messing up the name, but it's the JFK library with the, around the grassy knoll and all that kind of stuff. That's a really interesting place, and a number of different things to do in the Dallas area that if you get here in time, you can do outside of just coming here to the game.
Well, lots of things to do, that's for sure. Guys, any last-minute things?
Just curious, geographically, how far is it? What is it, 300-400-mile drive from San Antonio up to Dallas?
It's like 275, I think. It's about it takes us about 5 hours with a stop. Imagine, go to Bucky's. That would be the other place.
I was going to say, go to Bucky's. Do you have a favorite place that you like to go to get a steak or something in their famous Texas?
Oh, nah, barbecue would maybe be more of what you'd look for in Texas, is a nice barbecue joint, and there's plenty of them. To ironically, I'm looking at a Dickie's, which I know they have those in Fargo.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I wouldn't go there.
No, because I think I remember Dickie's had a problem nationwide with somebody cleaning out one of their lemonade dispensers once.
Yeah.
It wasn't a good deal.
Wasn't a good deal.
Chris, we're going to have to zoom along here because we have a number of other things to cover. But you know what? It's been a real treat to have you on board. I imagine you probably still have some relatives back here in Fargo.
Oh, definitely. I got my in-laws in Enderlin. I don't know if they're listening this early in the morning, but so shout out to them. And that's really most of my family now. It's up there in North Dakota. I have some folks that live way out of the listening area and Northern and North Dakota and Bismarck area, but
we're carried over KFYR.
Yeah, there is nobody who's outside of our listing area, because we'll call them up on the phone and tell them to listen.
Well, then I guess I'll have, you know, go buys into my North Dakota family back home.
Okay. Very good. Chris, it's been a treat to have you on board. Thank you so much for agreeing to be with us. We're going to zoom along and talk about financial things and stock markets and stuff like that. But in the meantime, you're right. Go Bison. We'll be looking for you in the stands today. Wave at us, okay?
Yeah, and buy low and sell high.
That's key. That's our motto, yeah. Thanks again, Chris. We'll talk to you soon. Nice. What a treat to have Chris on board from North Dakota and down there in the Frisco land. Steve, let's have Brady give us that world-famous intro. Yeah.
It's now time for the Legacy Wealth Management question of the week.
Legacy Wealth Management presents the Stock Market Week in Review with Steve Poitras.
Two for the price of one.
Look at that, an instant fade. I'm liking it.
Big gains on Friday for an up first week of 2023. The Dow was up 700 points on Friday to 33,630.
Wait a minute, 700 points
700
exactly.
points for the day. It was up 1.5% for the week. The S&P 500 was up 87 points Friday to close at 3,895.
Now, Steve, I know I make it sound like I'm surprised at that, but I got to tell you, every time the market would go up, one point, Brian and I were allowed to take a breath.
That's right.
You know,
and
if
you
went down, we couldn't breathe. But going up, we get to breathe.
700 points is 100 touchdowns.
That's a good way of looking at it.
If you converted every extra point.
Exactly.
S&P 500 was up 1.7% for the week. And the NASDAQ was up 264 on Friday to 10,569, up 1.9% for the week. Oil was down $6.79 a barrel to $73.70. Gold was up $40 an ounce to $18.70.
Gold has been on a bit of a tear,
it
hasn't
has.
It?
Well, yeah, yeah. It seems to run out of gas once it gets up to about this point, but you're right. It's been on an upward trend.
Lately, of course, mm-hmm. as we often say, one of the reasons something goes way up because it's been
down.
I mean, I'll tell you what, gold at $1,870 an ounce, we've been talking about that price many times over the last 10 years.
Yes, indeed. Facebook was up $10 to $130. Apple virtually unchanged at $129. Google was not much changed, down $1.87. Microsoft down $15 to $224. Amazon up $2 to $86. Netflix up $21 to $315. Tesla down $10 to $113. Tesla has really been
it's been kind of rough for them lately.
Bitcoin was actually up 2% for the week to 16,960.
Hey, I want to get a word in here from Brian. Brian, because we talk about these big technology-oriented mm-hmm. companies, and Amazon and Tesla and Netflix, really, and Apple and Google, they all fit in there. There is some question about, well, Amazon has been beat down so much. Is this a good time to get into it? And what about Tesla? And I know that the analysts we read often say, hey, keep betting on Amazon, but not so much on Tesla.
Tesla's going to be running into more and more competition from
That's
your biggies,
right.
General Motors, yep. Ford, and others around the world. It's not yep. this open, like, oh, wow, we yep. got the whole field to ourselves, as it maybe a couple of years ago it appeared.
Yep. Right. Tesla's losing some of their lead. You're right, Steve.
Otter Tail was up $1.45 to week at $60.16. Best Buy was up $2.83 to $83.04. National average price of gas was actually up 11 cents for the week to $3.29. And Fargo, mostly steady at $2.99. Across North Dakota, up 6 cents to $3.12. And Minnesota, up 15 cents to $3.18. Cheapest gas is in Georgia, where it was up nearly 10 cents to $2.83. Soybeans, it dropped 52 cents a bushel to $14.67. Dropped under pressure from eroding crude oil prices and fund selling, Paul.
Now, isn't that interesting that eroding crude oil prices would cause soybeans to move down?
Well, you know, China has a lot to do with price, not only of oil, but of soybeans as well.
Mm-hmm. I believe Brazil is the biggest producer of soybeans.
I think you're right. And big right behind Argentina. And there's been this question, is Argentina's soybean crop in big trouble or not?
So. We may have to ask George Santos.
Well,
he was
sure
down there
know.
For a while. folks, you are listening to Investment Talk, brought to you by the advisors at Legacy Wealth Management. We've had just a great day today. We've had a chance to talk to a couple of big Bison and Jackrabbit supporters down there, because I know Derek looks at it from both sides. We've got the Bison up today at 1 o'clock on ABC television around North Dakota and Minnesota anyway. And, you know, it's going to be a great time. And then the Vikings show up, I think, around noon today.
Against the Bears.
At Soldier Field.
One more step on their way towards winning the Super Bowl title, I always like to say. But in the meantime, if you've got questions about your investments, you know, seriously, that is our main topic. Today we couldn't resist talking about the football game and things like that. But if you've got questions, you can give Brian or Brady or myself a call at Legacy Wealth Management at 701-365-8083. What's that email, Brian?
You can email us at team@legacywealthfargo.com.
Yeah, we're going to be happy to talk to you. We've got new staff members on board at Legacy we're pretty excited about. We're going to have them on the show pretty soon to talk about what their job is and how it's going. Lots of good things. Thank you for tuning in to Investment Talk Radio. Don't forget you can see Investment Talk TV at 10 o'clock in the east, 9:30 in the west. You've been listening on KFGO 790 in Fargo and 104.7 FM and KFYR 550 in Bismarck. Hey, I don't care what they say, Brian.
We're going to be back next week.
Yeah.
You've been listening to Investment Talk, a one-hour show heard each Sunday morning here on KFGO and featuring investment advisor Paul Myers from Legacy Wealth Management. If you have questions or concerns about your investments, you can reach Paul or his financial advisory team at the Legacy office in Fargo at 365-8083 or visit the website at legacywealthfargo.com. Securities and investment advisory services offered through LPL Financial as registered investment advisor, member FINRA and SIPC. Thanks for listening. Give us a call, and we'll look forward to being back here next Sunday on KFGO.